Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 227, verse 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1 and 3 of 227. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, thereof the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 13 to the end. But first, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13 to the end. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's blessing and for his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself in thy precious word as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in thee there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. And in this morning, on this beautiful day in thy creation, in thy long-suffering patience and goodness and mercy, we may yet be in the time of grace in the land of the living. Again, we may have gathered in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. O, give hearing ears, give enlightened minds, and give hearts to receive thy word. Lord, we beg thee for thy presence, that thou would accompany thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be those blessings. Lord, thou hast said through the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt gather thy sheep, that sinners will be born again, that sinners will be brought to repentance and true faith. Lord, we beg thee then, that thou would then bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. Oh, may we then together as a congregation lift up our eyes unto thee and be those beggars crying unto thee, Lord, come. Work mightily, irresistibly, for the glory of thy name and for the coming of thy kingdom, that sinners would be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O Lord, thou hast said that man must be born again, and we have no power to give that to ourselves, to our children, to others in the congregation. It's thy work. May that give us hope, but may that lead us also to cry unto thee, Lord, that thou would pour out water upon the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. May it be so today here in Cortland, that many may be born again, many may come to know thee, to come to know themselves in the experience of being truly lost, and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, but also that thy dear Son, the Savior of sinners, may be revealed, that he would be shown by the power of the Spirit through the Word, and that sinners would be drawn unto him, see him, know him, have that faith worked in their hearts in him, and that they may go out unto him. And thou hast promised that those that come unto thee, thou wilt in no wise cast out. Thou cannot cast those poor beggars out, because it's thy work. O Lord, we beg thee then for that renewing grace and the drawing grace. O, we need grace upon grace without thee. It's all lost, all dead. No life, no hunger, no thirst, no true repentance, no true saving faith. Oh, we can confess much with our mouth, but without thy renewing grace, there is no life. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would look upon those who are yet dead and give them life. Those who have life may know it, that thy Spirit may testify with their spirit. And Lord, if there are those who are also confessing thy name as Lord and Savior, and it's all with the mouth, would thou awaken them before it is forever too late? Lord, we have entered again into a week of preparation, and in this morning in thy house is a preparatory sermon. Oh, may it be clear, may it be simple, may it be according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that each may listen for himself. Do I have grace of God in my heart? And those who miss it may go home as lost, needy beggars, begging thee for grace, as thou alone art the one who begins, who will uphold and bring it to glory. Remember those who may have attended in the past and may be deceiving themselves. O, wilt thou give them today that they may be awakened and that they may make haste for their life's sake? But we also pray for all thy dear, true, and tried afflicted people, the lambs and the sheep, who so often doubt when they look within and see all the sin and that fountain of foul transgressions. Do I have the grace of God or not? O, we beg thee that through the preaching of thy word that it may be clear, and that it may be the separation from the precious and the vile, and that the vile may begin to beg, and that the precious, thy dear children, may sink away in adoration. Why me? Why may I be such a recipient of the love of a triune God, and that their hearts may be longing to come and to sit at the table under thy wings in thy presence and to be fed by thee? Lord, wilt thou then give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy precious word? May there be much prayer, many errands and errs, and that thou would bless the preaching to the benefit, to the blessings of the whole congregation, for boys and girls, teenagers, adults, and older ones. We all are born totally depraved, lost, dead in sins and trespasses, and we need that renewing grace, and we need that only Savior of sinners. Lord, then look upon us in mercy, and may we plead as thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Thou art that faithful one to a faithless people, an unfaithful people. Thou art that merciful God to sinful people. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, may we be given to plead then upon thy name, for thy name's sake, Lord. Lord, we lay before thee then the whole congregation. Remember those who are mourning. Care for them, comfort them, widows, widowers, those lost children, a father, a mother, a sibling, a relative, but also maybe a friend or a classmate. Sanctify these callings. And Lord, thou art speaking that we have no continuing city here below, but that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare us by thy grace. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Oh, we beg thee that thou would care for each one and sanctify these callings. Oh, may we see it that we have not only a disease in our body, but that we have that great disease in our soul of sin, that we are polluted, that we are one mass of sin, and that we need to be healed, that we need to be cleansed and washed, to be able to stand before thee in peace, and teach us of that great physician who has that balm in Gilead. Lord, we acknowledge thee that also a family, Richard and Lydia Coster, could have a healthy baby. Thou hast spared life and given life. Give broken hearts. Help them as parents and all of us to raise our children in the fear of the Lord. Oh, may this child and all our children be born to be born again. Lord, remember then also the cares. We think of Jeff Valdesgraff as he continues treatments for his body. Bless it, Lord. But especially remember his soul. Bless thy word. Lord, we beg thee, remember also Benton, who had surgery. We may thank thee. As far as we know, all has gone well. Remember him also. and that thou would give healing, but also that he may also be able to walk with the adjustment that thou hast given, also with the amputation. Lord, remember also Mr. Keith Murray, who is in the hospital and could go home. Remember him, care for him. Remember all the sick and afflicted with cares and needs for the body and the mind. Those in the congregation, but those outside of the congregation, known unto us, many relatives also are seriously sick. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would sanctify all these callings. Thou art speaking unto us through thy word and through all the acts of thy providence. Lord, we beg and ask thee that thou would remember also today student Rosaboom, as he will be in this day speaking an edifying word for the first time on thy day. Lord, help him. Be on his left and on his right. Thou art that faithful God. Help him. Carry him through. And may he be used as an instrument in thy hand. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all thy servants throughout the world. O, wilt thou give them that we may speak clearly according to the meaning of the Spirit, death in Adam and life in Christ, and that thou would bless it, that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Lord, bless all mission work locally in prisons, among the poor and needy, the helpless, but also, Lord, in faraway lands and nations. Oh, may thy word go out unto those who have never, ever heard thy word, who have never heard of creation, who have never heard of an almighty God, who have never heard that they are sin, and who have never heard of a Savior for sinners. Lord, wilt thou, as thou hast promised, fulfill it, that thy word will go forth to the ends of the earth, and that thou wilt gather them from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Lord, remember also the work among thy covenant people. Bless it richly. Take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see and know that him that thy word testifies of, Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Bless thy word also in Bolivia. Help thy servants there, elders, deacons, thy servant Pastor Marco, to church workers and their families. Lord, guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit, and may they be used in thy hand as a blessing for many Bolivians. May many come to know themselves as lost, guilty sinners, but also come to know that precious name, that only name given among men, whereby we must be saved. Lord, look then upon us in mercy in this morning. Oh, we beg thee, come among us, Lord. Take away all the other cares, all other thoughts, all other distractions. Remember those with riddles, questions, cares in their hearts and in their souls. Oh, may they hear, may they be solved. Oh, may thy spirit witness with the spirit of all thy dear children that they belong unto thee. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Would it not be for thy name's sake that hearts would be broken by thy grace and that sinners would bow in adoration before thee? Lord, then do it for thy name's sake, and thou art able to do above all that we think and ask. And remember also those two brothers in the congregation who will be installed in this evening, one as a deacon and one as an elder. Lord, help them. Give a word to speak tonight. May it be in thy favor. Lord, we beg thee then, wash and cleanse us from all our many sins and look upon us through thy dear Son. Lord, there's no reason in us. We have left thee never to return, and we're polluted, we're sinful from head to toe, within and without, and thou could righteously and justly pass us by. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, because of him, because of his righteousness, because of his precious, all atoning blood, come among us, visit us, and bless us with thy grace, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue with singing from Psalter number 1, all 5 stanzas. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. Psalter number 1, all 5 stanzas, and the collections for today is first for the church and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, again, we enter into a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, the Lord willing, next week, Sunday. Children, teenagers, congregation, who knows your heart? You say there's only one, that's the Almighty God. Exactly. He knows your and my heart. We can only look at the outside. But as we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord looks in the heart. Listen, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He's looking upon you and me right now. He doesn't just see how we look at the outward appearance, but he looks right into our heart. He sees our motives, our desires. He sees everything. He sees our hearts. May I ask you, do you confess hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you confess this only with your mouth, or is it also with your heart? Are you only a mouth professor? Or are you a heart possessor of God's saving grace? Hypocrites don't like sharp, clear, distinct self-examination. Whereas God's true and tried children, they long for it. Why? Because they know their hearts are so desperately wicked, and they want to know, do I have God's grace, or yes or no? And they're like David, search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way of everlasting life. They often doubt, and they question the state of their soul. Do I have grace? Yes or no? Do I belong to him? Yes or no? Is he my Lord and Savior? Yes and no. And they want to know. They want to know from the Lord. They don't trust their own heart anymore, but they can trust him. Him. And can then a sinner know whether he is only a mouth professor or a heart possessor? Can he? Yes. From the Word of God. No, we're not going to ask men's opinions this morning. And I'm not going to preach man's opinion. I'm called to preach the precious Word of God. And there's one we can trust. As we begin this morning in a preparatory sermon for the Lord's Supper, there's one we can trust. He's most trustworthy. He's most honest. He's most clear. He's sharp, distinct, but he does it with love for souls. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. He preached a precious sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins this sermon with describing the true citizens of heaven, true children of God, his true lambs and sheep. Those who have God's free sovereign grace in the heart, who are possessors and who are welcome, invited, no, commanded to come to the table. And he says, with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you. Congregation, we can be wrong on many things, and they have consequences. But to be wrong for your soul for eternity has an eternal consequence. And to die thinking you are saved and to go eternally lost, I can't think of absolutely anything more horrible. Expecting to enter in, confessing in this time, in this life, him as Lord, and yet to come to stand before him. And he says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ gives an urgent, a solemn warning with love for the souls of sinners. And so, this morning, with the Lord's help, I'd like to call your attention to the Word of God, which we read in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, where we read in God's precious word, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So far from God's precious word. And so the theme for this morning is Jesus Christ's call to self-examination. Jesus Christ's call to self-examination. Three thoughts. First, the warning he proclaims. We read in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So the warning he proclaims. Second, the mark he gives. He gives a very clear, distinct mark. And that's what we read at the end of verse 21. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is that will? We will explain it from the Bible. So the mark he gives. And last, the profession he will make. We read this in verse 22 and 23. And so the theme, Jesus Christ's call to self-examination. The warning he proclaims, the mark he gives, and the profession that he will make. And may the Lord bless it. If you are without grace, and you must say, "I missed this mark," that you go home uncomfortable with an urgency and a need for his grace. And if you have or are deceiving yourself, that you may be awakened. But if you know this mark, that you may be comforted by the Spirit testifying with your spirit. And so may the Lord help to listen and to preach for the glory of his name and the coming of his kingdom. And so our first thought, the warning he proclaims. Congregation, next Sunday, the Lord willing, those that come to the Lord's Supper make a confession. They make a profession publicly before us all. What is it? Well, we read something in the form. Listen, I'll quote it. "As if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge we lie in the midst of death." So what are they confessing? Lying in the midst of death. You say, well, we're all in the midst of death. True, but these know it. They feel it. They experience. What do they mean by that? What does the form mean? What is that confession? I lie in the midst of death. Well, Paul, a recipient of God's grace, 20 years later wrote in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." That's the lesson. That's in the midst of death. With all the grace in myself, there is no good thing. Sinful self, a wretch in self, and yet seeking life, seeking salvation, seeking reconciliation with God that you sinned against, a good doing God outside of yourself, only in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And he becomes in their life. He becomes the only hope as the Savior. And he becomes Lord in their life. They begin to follow him. They begin to obey him. They begin to live for him. So confessing himself as a guilty, polluted, wretched sinner, and that my only hope, my only expectation to ever to be able to meet God in peace is only through another. Nothing in self. It's all death, and I need him for everything. And they confess, coming to the table, death and self, sinful wretch, But that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's Savior and He's Lord in my life. No, I'm not saying they can say He is my Savior and my Lord. Oh, they long for that. But they know Him as the Savior through the testimony of the Holy Spirit and through the Word. And He has become Lord. They begin to follow. Now let's read Matthew 7, verse 21 again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we hear of those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And the Lord Jesus gives the most solemn warning, I believe, in the whole Bible. And He calls us, all of us, to examine ourselves this morning in His presence with His Word. Do you say already, I don't know Him? It's examination for you. Has He never become as a need to be your Savior as Lord? Then I must tell you, you're lost. Absolutely lost. Don't sit comfortable. Don't say this is a week of preparation. I'm lost, so I don't have to examine myself. Consider your state before a holy God. But do you confess? Have you come to the table? And do you confess that He's the Savior? He is the Lord? May I ask you with love for your heart and for your soul? Or are you considering to come? You knew it was coming? Are you confessing with your mouth only? Or are you confessing also what God has taught you in your heart? Do you resist self-examination? Congregation, by nature, we want food examined. We will never cross a bridge that would go over a deep ravine without knowing that it is tested and tried. But we also would never go in a plane that was never passed inspection because we don't want to get sick, we don't want to get injured, and we don't want to die. But my dear friends, congregation, our soul is so much more important. It's so much more valuable because soul lost, all lost. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He puts much emphasis in His preaching on self-examination. He does this at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, through the Sermon on the Mount, and He concludes the Sermon on the Mount with so clear self-examination. He began His sermon with the Beatitudes. Let's consider that for a moment. And we read these Beatitudes in Matthew 5. The poor in spirit, may I ask you, are you poor in spirit? What is that? That's to be humbled as a lost sinner, to become just bankrupt. Are you one that mourns? Mourns because of sin against a good-doing God? Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, do you long for holiness personally in yourself to serve Him with love because He's such a good-doing God for such a wretch? And do you also hunger and thirst after righteousness of Him who is the Lord our righteousness? Are you meek? Meek? Or are you still proud? Proud, all one mass of pride. Or are you, have you become, by God's grace, meek? Are you pure in heart? You say, who's pure in heart? Those pure essence of grace. That's what it is. Longing to serve Him, to love Him. Are you a peacemaker? Or are you still trying to stir up schisms? Or are you a peacemaker, longing that there would be peace? And are you persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, gives the most perfect marks of grace. Lay your hearts beside that this week. Study, read these marks, these beatitudes. Do I know something of this? Yes or no? And then the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the end of the sermon, gives more clear marks of self-examination, calling us to lay ourselves before His Word, what He says. Am I? Am I a recipient of grace? Yes or no? Who are they? Well, if you look in your Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, then we read in verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So he speaks. All of us, without exception, are either still on the broad way as we have been born, or we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, and we are in the narrow way. And the only way to enter into that narrow way is what? Is to be taught of self, who you are before God, and drawn to the gate, and to enter in through the gate, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he continues with another clear mark about fruit. Children, he shows a tree, and a tree, you know what type it is by what fruit it is. So if you see some pears, you know the tree is a pear tree. But if it has apples, you know it is an apple tree. So mouth professors and true heart possessors of true saving grace, they may be known by their fruit. And that's what we read in verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. So he lays two ways. Which way are you on? The broad way or the narrow way? And what fruit is on your tree? We may know who we are by our fruit. So, who are you? Are you still in the broad way, or are you on the narrow way? What fruit? Is there fruit by God's grace produced on the tree of your life? Are you a recipient of God's grace? Are you on the narrow way or the broad way? Is on your tree all nothing but stinking, rotten fruit that we produce by nature, as we read in Galatians 5, all that sin? Or by God's grace? Yes, by God's grace, is there new fruit? Love, joy, peace. But what is that fruit? What did our forefathers summarize as the fruit on the tree of one who is a heart possessor and a confessor of true saving faith? What are the infallible fruits of election that we read in the Word of God? What did our forefathers summarize? Well, we read that in the Canons of Dort, and I'll mention them. First head, Article 12. First is true faith in Jesus Christ. They have entered through the door. They're on the narrow way. They have been taught of self, a need for a Savior as a way back to God for reconciliation. And they have been revealed by the Spirit and the Word of who he is. And they've seen him. Their hearts have gone out to him. They cannot live without him anymore. They need him as that righteousness to cover them as a filthy one. And they need his blood to cleanse them, because they know that Almighty God is too pure to look upon sin, and I'm just sin. And they need him. They've been drawn to him, taught of him. They know him. They follow him. They heard his voice, as the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 10. And he becomes so suitable. Has he? Has there a need in your heart for him, that second person? Has he been suitable exactly to what you need to be reconciled with the holy and just God? And has he become precious? How do we know if we have true saving faith in Jesus Christ? He becomes precious. They begin to love him. Love him. What else? What else did they say is a fruit? So true saving faith in Jesus Christ. Filial fear. What's that? Fear of going lost? Fear of being put under punishment eternally? No, it's awe, respect, love, reverence for the Almighty God and that precious Savior. A deep heart reverence. Not just a confession with the mouth, but it's in the heart. True saving faith is in the heart. Filial fear is in the heart by God's grace. What else? Godly sorrow for sin. No, not a sorrow of the world, of consequences of sin. No, but godly sorrow. Godly sorrow grieves. It's a pain. Why? Because I sin against a good-doing God. I have sinned. I do sin. And I remain sin. What else? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A desire to be holy. That's a real experience of those. Of those who are those true possessors. They long to be holy, to serve Him. And they learn the only way to truly be holy is to be covered with the righteousness and the blood of the precious Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ gives such a clear warning. He proclaims it. Not all those that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He puts much emphasis on self-examination. More than any other of anyone who preached in the word of God of sermons. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why? Why did he do that? Because he knows the hearts of men. Open your Bible, please. To Jeremiah 17, verse 9. There we hear of hearts that he knows today also. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knows that. Hearts can be so desperately wicked and deceitful. And he with love gives such a sharp, clear warning. No, he's not preaching to those who have never heard the word. That's not what he's preaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching to those who have heard. He's preaching to men and women, boys and girls who have heard the word of God. And maybe in their testimony are confessing him as Lord and are following him. And he calls his hearers at that time to self-examination. And also today he calls church members, confessing members, but also communicants, self-examination. The Lord Jesus Christ preaches and he makes a division. He always did. Sheep, goats, true faith, false faith, wheat, tares. He makes a division. And as a preacher, we also must make a very clear distinction, especially in a preparatory sermon. We need to separate the precious from the vile. Who's the vile? Unrepentant and unbelieving, dead workers of iniquity. Who are the precious? Recipients of God's grace and those who begin and desire to do the will of God, as we hope to consider. The Lord Jesus Christ lays before you and me this morning a warning and a call to self-examination. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So what a warning. Maybe you tremble. Is that me? God's people also can tremble when they hear these warnings. Why? Because when they look within, they see so much sin. And yet the Lord, he doesn't put a period here, just a warning, and leaves them. No, he gives a very clear mark. And so we go to our second thought, the mark he gives. Jesus Christ says in verse 21 at the end, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So the Lord Jesus is saying, the only entrance into the kingdom is not a guarantee just because we confess with our mouth of him publicly, even that he is Lord, Lord. And he repeats this. He says, Lord, Lord. It's not just someone who flippantly says this or who says this in a way, in a sentence without knowing it. No, he's speaking about those who purposely confess with their mouth and say, Lord, Lord. The conclusion, congregation, with all the love of my heart, is inescapable. It's absolutely inescapable. Confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ only with our mouth. and not living according to the will of God the Father, then we are deceiving ourselves. We are not one of his little lambs. We are not one of his sheep. We are not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. We are absolutely lost. He says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Confessing with the mouth is not a guarantee that you are a child of him. It's not a guarantee at all. Yes, it needs to be with heart and mouth together. It needs to come out of the heart, which worked by God's grace, come out of the mouth. I must ask you this morning, with the love of my heart, do you confess Jesus Christ that he's Lord? Do you? Is it only with your mouth? I need to examine myself also. Is it only with the mouth, or does it also come out of the heart? And he knows every heart. Open it up to him this week. Lay it before him and beg him, search me, try me. He knows how you will stay in your bench if you stay in your bench. And you can't say, well, I never confessed him, so I'm good. No, you're no better. You're still lost. But he knows also how each one will come to the table. He knows their hearts. And can you say to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest all the sin. Thou knowest all the wickedness, all the wretchedness, all the unbelief, all that I lack, and I'm just in the midst of death. But by thy grace, Lord, thou knowest in my heart, there is a desire, a longing to do thy will. It's a confession, not just with the mouth, but it's with the heart. Open your Bible. Paul wrote about this. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not just with the mouth. It comes out of the heart by the grace received. The Lord Jesus Christ says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He knows that there are those in his time, and there will be to the end of the world, that will make an outward confession, but there is no grace in their hearts. Therefore, we all need to ask ourselves, no, not for your neighbor. You need to ask for yourself, do I have grace? Do I have God's grace in my heart? Is my profession out of grace received, not just by an education, but the experience of my heart, by the teaching of the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit? Do I love him? And is my heart, and this is the mark, is my heart longing to serve him? Not in some ways, but in all his ways, to search the scriptures, to know his will in absolutely everything. Not some things that I like and other things that I don't, but everything, your whole life, everything. Do I long to know his will? And when I hear what his will is, do I see that sin? I need to cut it off. What's conversion? What's the life of conversion of those lambs and the sheep? It's cutting off sin. See, that's not according to God's will. I need to cut it off, fighting against it, and putting on the new man, living in Christ and in righteousness according to his will. The critical truth, the mark that the Lord Jesus is making, is that when there is a union with him that he makes by his grace, there will be a living in union with him, and his people will begin to look a little like him. What does that mean? What is that? How did the Lord Jesus Christ live? Absolute every single second of his whole life. How did he live? Doing the will of his Father. That was his meat. That was his drink. That was his delight. And those that are born again, entering into that kingdom, begin to resemble him. What did Paul write? Predestinated to be conformed to his image, to him. That's the work of the Spirit in them. And therefore, in our life, search your own life. I need to search mine. If we are confessing with our mouth, but we have no desire to live according to his word, we are absolutely only deceiving ourselves. It must be concluded that if we're only living our will, our way, yeah, maybe be front of people, we behave well because we don't want them to ever think that we are deceiving ourselves. But in private, we live holding on to sins, delighting in sin, workers of iniquity. Or is it with grief? I fell into sin again. They grieve. No, they're not perfect. They fall. But they have a desire. True faith will always produce works. What works? That will begin to look upon like him, that perfect one, that holy one. James wrote in James 2 verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What is works? Faith in him, to the glory of God and according to the will of God. Desiring to do the will of God. Is that your heart? Is that your battle? Is that your fight? Ask yourself, search yourself before the Lord. And doeth is in the present tense, and it has the explanation of continually being active. What does that mean? God's children by his grace begin to do his will. There's a longing to do it. It becomes their delight. It becomes their joyful delight when they're in the right frame to obey him, to serve him, to follow him, to do the Father's will. Mouth confessors, they may do something, but like Judas, they will hold on to some sin and deceive themselves. But real living children of God, real true professors of possessors of grace, they are like Paul. Open your Bible and we'll read some verses where Paul expresses that life. Romans 7, verse 21 through 23. The Lord Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of his Father in heaven. And now listen, to one of his dear sheep, expressing Romans 7, verse 21 through 23. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Is that you? Longing to do good, but evil present. And now listen, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It comes out of his heart because God planted grace in his heart. And now listen to his struggle. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And he ends in self. Oh, wretched man that I am. Is that you? Longing? Being born again? Renewed? A new creation? And when the Lord renews his dear people, his sheep, what do they have in their hearts? What does he plant? His law. And so they will begin to desire to live according to his law. They have a new purpose, a new will, a new desire, new affections, new everything. New everything. Are they perfect? No, they're not perfect. Ask them. And they will find in this week so much sin that clings to them. But the Lord is not asking, if you're perfect, church, you may come to this table. No, he's asking, consider who you yet remain to be. Confess, repent, but also seek it in me. Seek your righteousness, seek your holiness in me. It becomes painful to sin for them when they are in the right frame. It becomes sorrow in the heart. And so we hear a very clear warning. Lord, lords.
But is it only with the mouth, or does it come out of the heart? And what's that heart? What did we hear from the Lord Jesus Christ? But he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Is that your heart longing to do the will of God? No, the Lord's not asking if it's perfect. But there's that desire, that longing to hear his voice. They begin to follow him. They want to obey him. They begin to do the will of God. So what's the mark? Holiness. Striving for holiness. To obey the Almighty God. And they begin to pray. Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. They begin to pray, teach me thy ways. Because I don't want to grieve thee anymore. I want to know the truth. I want to know thy will for my life and everything. They don't hide any part. They open it up and they're like Paul, remember, when he was born again? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They die to self and they long to follow him and him alone. The Lord Jesus Christ says to do the will of his Father. What is that? Let's consider that for a few moments. Well, with comparing Scripture to Scripture, what is the will of God the Father? What is it that they will learn by his grace? What will they learn? They begin to long to obey his commandments, and that comes with a life of repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. The will of the Father is that they repent. Cut off all sin. But what especially is the will of the Father? His will is that his Son is honored, glorified. What's his will? That sinners would begin to trust in his Son. To do the will of his Father is to flee from all sin and to flee unto him. Listen to what we read in John 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And we read in 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So what is the will? To repent, to confess all sin. And to have that faith, to believe. Do you hear it, lambs? Do you hear it, sheep? Do you hear it, congregation? To be looking unto him, confessing your sin, cutting off all sin, fleeing from all sin, living to his will, and living to his will that he proclaims, all that you would trust only in my Son. That we'd look to him for everything, for your righteousness and your blood. Do you experience in your heart the painful reality that you remain sin, longing to do the will of God, but in yourself, as the poet says in the Psalter, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But can you say, because it's in the same heart, the same experience, wretched in self, but a longing to do the will of God? Have you, are you, by God's grace, repenting, cutting off sin? And are you longing to do his will? And is your only hope looking, longing, trusting in an only Savior, Jesus Christ? Has he become necessary? Has he become precious? Precious, more precious than absolutely anything. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's evidence in the heart, not by only what they say, but out of their heart, a will to do the will of God. Is that your heart? And they beg, teach me, lead me, guide me. Let's sing from Psalter 337, 336. 336, stanzas 1 and 2. And as we sing, consider your own heart and life. 336, 1 and 2.
I have followed truth and justice. Leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection. Let the proud no more oppress. For thy word and thy salvation, Lord, my eyes with longing fail. Teach thy statutes to thy servants. Let thy mercy now prevail. 336, stanzas 1 and 2. Jesus Christ's call to self-examination. We heard a little something of such a solemn warning. We heard a little something of the mark he gives. And now we come to our third thought, the profession he will make. We read in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? What day is this? This is the day of Judgment Day. And three times the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes, in my name. Lord, Lord, in my name. They are saying they have done works in his name. In his name. They are appealing to what they have done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as they come before him on judgment day. And what will the Lord profess? What will he profess? Read verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Expecting to enter in. What do we read in this? It will be absolute astonishment to them. They will absolutely be expecting, because of what they have done, confessing, Lord, Lord, and have done all these works, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they will absolutely be astonished. Astonished. It'll be a surprise to them. They will think to enter in, but they will hear, depart. They will absolutely be shocked. They will hear the most horrible sentence that anyone could ever hear, expecting to enter heaven eternally and forever lost. And my heart is that that doesn't happen to anyone of you. None. And that's why, with much prayer, I felt I have to preach this morning. It's sharp. It's cutting. But it's good. Let the Lord cut us. Let him show us who we are. It's good for us. Because he sees it. He knows it. And if we're only deceiving ourselves, then to come to that day and think to enter in and to even have sat at the Lord's Supper and then to be lost, that is all lost. So it's good. And he does it with love. He does it with love for them because he, as that Savior, he cares for their soul. And I do it with love of a heart for your souls, for the whole congregation. And he publicly addresses them. Different groups. Who are they? We have prophesied in their name. How do we relate today? Ministers of preaching the word of God. Elders, deacons, church workers, evangelists, those who visit prisons, those who share the word of God. We've spoken. We've proclaimed the word. We did it in thy name, Lord. But he will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Didn't know you at all. Others will say, we've cast out devils in the name. What a wonderful work. And they did many wonderful works. But he'll say, depart, I never knew you. And when you look in Luke chapter 6, then it says something else. Something else is included. And we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Well, in the context, it first means those who have literally eaten with the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe sat in one of those houses around the table, listened to his word, and eaten with him, and hoping to enter in. But it also can refer to who? To those who eat and sit in his presence, have eaten and drunk, who've attended the Lord's Supper. What a cutting. What a cutting, sharp, clear self-examination. So painful for the flesh, but good. Because lost is lost. We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. And what does he say? What's the real mark that he says about them? Ye that work iniquity. That's the absolute opposite of what he said. But he that doeth the will of my Father. So now listen, congregation. Here's the distinction. That work iniquity. That verb work is continually, habitually doing iniquity. It's not falling into iniquity, but it's living dead in sins and trespasses. Ephesians 2 verse 1, just doing iniquity in a very self-righteous way or as a very worldly way. Doing iniquity, sin against God, that's your life. They confessed with their mouth. They preached. They did great works, but it was all for self in the name of another. All for their own honor. All for their own glory. And so anything that we do, is it done with the heart of a heart renewed, with fear of the Lord, filial fear, done in true saving faith in him, done that when we sin, there's godly sorrow? Is it done with a longing to be holy?
As Robert Murray M'Cheyne said, Lord, make me as holy as a sinner could be. Why? Because he wanted to serve him. Because he loved him. It wasn't about self anymore at all, but it was all for him. These ones here, they were doing it all in his name, but all for self. All iniquity. Are you still dead in sins and trespasses? Are you still living in iniquity? Is that your life? Sin, 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 all sin? Or has it, by God's grace, your heart been renewed by his grace? Love poured in, and there's love for him. A deep, profound need, longing for reconciliation with an almighty, holy God. And you have learned the only way is through the will of the Father, revealed through his Son, who came to do his will and who fulfilled his will. And you need him to cover you with his righteousness and to be washed in his blood. Is he your only hiding place? Because remember those standing before the throne in Matthew 25? Did they proclaim, those sheep, look what I have done? No, the Lord said what they had done. And they said when? They weren't resting on their works. Not at all. They see it's all sin. That's those people. But they need one to cover them. But those false ones, they have a confession. Maybe much noise coming out of their mouth, but dead in the heart. And the Lord sees it. Ye that work iniquity. Is that still you? Have you? And no, congregation, I'm not thinking of any person. I'm not thinking of someone that came to the Lord's Supper. And I need to especially point, I'm not. It's in general. So don't take it that I'm pointing exactly at you. Ask God to search you. And I will ask God to search myself. But do you come? Have you come? And you're still living, working iniquity? That's really your life, your heart? Or is it with a burning desire to serve him, but you sin so much and it causes such deep grief? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, take the words of the Lord home. Lay your heart beside his word. Examine your own heart and say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lay your heart beside the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ's sermon. And if you need to conclude, if you have never come and are thinking of coming, or if you have come and you've come in the wrong grounds, and you must conclude, Lord, it's all death, just a worker of iniquity, don't come. But if you have come, and it's just an empty profession, with all my love in my heart, bow your knees, confess it to the Lord. There's hope yet, because his arms are still stretched out. His arms are still willing to gather wretched sinners under his wings. And he still proclaims, repent and believe the gospel. And he calls, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's in him. But on the contrary, if you may know on good grounds, in the presence of the Lord, laying your heart beside the marks, laying your heart beside this, is my heart the longing in the depth of it to do the will of God? Is that you? Then you're welcome. You're welcome to come in all your wretchedness, seeking salvation entirely in him, to sit under his wings, to be covered, to be fed by him. And they will not hear depart. When they stand before him, they will hear something much more blessed. Come, the blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so Jesus Christ's call to self-examination, the warning he proclaims, the mark he gives, it's not enough to make a mouth confession. It needs to be a heart possession of his free and sovereign grace. Is your life sorrow in who you are, with a longing to do his will? And who are they? One last verse. Remember, the Lord Jesus was in a home, and some came and said, Your family's outside. And what did he say? What did he say? Listen, Matthew 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. That's them. That's the children. They do the will of his Father, as we heard. Search your heart, and may the Lord richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, what a word we heard from thy lips this morning. Oh, we beg thee that thou would bless it with the power of the Holy Spirit. May those who are only working iniquity be awakened, see their lost state before thee, and become lost. And may it become urgent in their heart and their soul that they need thy grace, that they cry to thee. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. But may it also be that thy children, when they see all the sins, all the transgressions that they yet do, that grieves them, and sometimes it grieves them that it doesn't grieve them enough, and yet in their heart is that longing to serve thee, because thou art such a good doing God. Oh, wilt thou comfort them and draw them to that table to be fed and to be nourished with that crucified Lamb of God. Oh, that they may taste of his love, and that they may have a little place of sweet communion, that their faith may be strengthened in thee and who thou art for such wretched ones. Lord, keep us in this day. Watch over us. Bring us together again in thy house tonight, and may we acknowledge thee for this day, for thy help. For without thee we can do nothing. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing with closing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. 384, 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye does see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 384, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Thank you.
Dear congregation, we have the first announcement of the two following couples who the Lord willing will be married in the coming weeks. Eric Joshua Korvard and Rebecca Lynn Melgers on Thursday, June 25th at 11 a.m. and Johannes Willem Scholten and Carrie Jean Stubby on Friday, June 26th at 1 p.m. Both, the Lord willing, I will officiate. May we remember them in prayer. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.